So since it's been a couple weeks since we've met on studying the book of Romans, I'd like us to just actually do a little bit of a review in reading, starting in Romans chapter 4, verse 1. The study tonight actually starts with verse 13 to the end of the chapter, 13 through 25. But we can just read it, starting at verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. And the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. We'll read the next portion, and this is what tonight's study is going to be about, starting with 13. And it's entitled, Justification is Apart from the Law. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. Because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him who he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope, believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he, God, had promised, he, God, was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. How are we doing, folks? Maybe I'm going to go from here. Probably will. Okay. Thank you, Pastor Eric. Okay, so on this slide, we see as far as in the Romans outline where we are today. Last week and this week, excuse me, 2 weeks ago and this week, we're looking at justification to be declared righteous. And it's very interesting as far as that portion of scripture that we just read about Abraham. Amazing individual to trust God in things that he didn't know about. He didn't have the scriptures, but he believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So let's take a look at this first portion. And let me just make a couple comments. I felt that the slides were kind of difficult to follow through the last time we did it, okay? Last time I did it, or when I've been in your shoes as the student out there. So one thing that I changed is when there are verses, instead of leaving them in the yellow text, I have put them in white text with the reference and then the verse, okay? So that it all just doesn't kind of blend together. For us to see that here's a statement or a promise, and here's the scripture that that's based on, okay? It's not just a narrative. It's this is what God is saying. Okay. So again, page 38, as far as in your note sheets there. Romans 4, 13 through 15 is the portion that we're first starting out with. Abraham's justification by faith in Genesis 15, verse 6, demonstrates that salvation comes apart from keeping the Ten Commandments. And here's that verse, Genesis 15, 6. And he, Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he, God, accounted it to him for righteousness. Romans 4, 13. For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. God did not fulfill his promises to Abraham and his descendants because Abraham obeyed the law. That's the fill-in word, law, as far as on your sheets there. But rather because he, Abraham, believed God. Romans 4:14, for if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise is nullified. If righteousness or salvation could come through obeying the Ten Commandments, two things would be true. Two things would be true if salvation came through obeying the Ten Commandments. First off, as the scriptures say in Romans 4:14a, that faith would be made void or empty or of no value. If salvation came through obedience to the law, faith in Christ's death on the cross and resurrection would be unnecessary. So faith would be made void. And the value of faith is the object you're putting it in. It's not mysterious. Faith, the value of faith is the object you're placing it in, Christ's work on the cross. And it's amazing when you think about it, we're staking our eternal destiny on some printed word on the page. But God shows us, the Creator shows us this is true. And He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a change of mind to put their faith in Jesus Christ, Christ's work on the cross. The second thing that would occur, Romans 14, excuse me, 4:14b, the promise would be nullified or made of no effect. If salvation came through obedience to the law, there would be no need for the promise of eternal life and forgiveness of sins. Romans 3:22 through 24. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. In Romans 4, chapter 4, verse 15, for the law brings about wrath, but where there is no law, there also is no violation or no transgression. Beware to anyone who believes that people are saved by obeying the law. That is not biblical. That is not true. And so from that verse, we see that the law does not bring salvation. Rather, it brings the wrath of God, as shown in the book of Romans there, 1 Corinthians, and 2 Corinthians. Romans 3:19 through 20. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. So the law has a purpose to show us that we're guilty, that we need a Savior. Remember, Abraham was declared right with God 430 years before the law even existed, verifying that people can be declared right with God totally apart from the law. I found these truths and God putting those in there for me in getting saved really valuable, because from my religious background, there were things that just weren't true. And God knows that there's those hang-ups and those lies that are out there. So God had a specific plan for when Abraham got saved, by believing the word of God, and then when the law came in. Romans 3:28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. In Romans 4:16 through 17, we'll read that again quickly, 4:16 through 17. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of God whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. So Abraham's justification by grace through faith illustrates that faith fits perfectly with grace. Romans 4:16a, for this reason it is by faith in order that it may be accorded in accordance with grace. Faith goes hand in hand with grace. The two complement each other perfectly. And we think about a verse that we commonly know, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Those two are complementary. They're linked together. Grace and works do not fit together. Romans 4:4 says, now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due, as a wage. Okay? If you work for it, it is earned. So the fill-in word there is earned. When it comes to justification, grace and works are mutually exclusive. They are opposites. God looks at grace. God is gracious towards us. He is looking for us to have a faith response in the truths of his word. Before I got saved, I looked at what have I done for God. Therefore, I am indebting God to do something for me. It's not me doing for God. It's what God has already done for all of us and for all of mankind when Christ died on the cross. Grace is undeserved kindness. It is a gift You do not work for a gift. You simply receive it by faith. Romans 11:6a says, "But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace." Romans 4:16b says, "So that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." God's grace is shown to all who believe in Jesus Christ, regardless of national or cultural ethnicity. God promised Abraham that in him all the families of the earth would be blessed, Genesis 12:3, and that he would become the father of a multitude of nations, Genesis 17:3-6. Also, when we believe in Christ, Abraham becomes our spiritual father. However, this does not mean that as believers we become Israel, ethnically, spiritually, or in any other way. And that's borne out in Galatians 3:6-9. The church does not replace Israel. God has a plan for Israel, as described later in the book of Romans. Romans 4:17a, "As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you." This verse teaches that a person can belong to Abraham spiritually, calling him father without becoming Israel. It is important to note that the church does not replace Israel. The church does not replace Israel. Let's take a look in our Bibles here as far as for Romans 4:17-21, 17b. "God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he, God, had promised, he, God, was also able to perform." So since Abraham was justified by faith, the Apostle Paul then took a closer look at the nature of Abraham's faith. What was his faith about? And how did it develop? In Romans 4:17, Abraham's faith was not based on his own abilities. In the presence of him, God, whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. So Abraham's faith was not based on his own abilities. Abraham trusted in God's supernatural ability to miraculously provide for his needs. Many people claim the Bible teaches that God helps those who help themselves. This saying is not found in the Bible. Let me ask a show of hands. How many of you heard, either in growing up or even amongst friends and so forth, God helps those who help themselves? My mother was an advocate of that. She towed the Lutheran line. Yep. And I'm not saying that that is the Lutheran doctrine, but it's one of those fallacies that gets picked up. And it's all about because man wants to do something versus trust in the work of another. The Bible actually teaches the opposite. The Bible teaches that God helps those who cannot help themselves. As we can see in Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 6, 8 and 9, Romans 5, God helps those who cannot help themselves. We need to see that in order to give up on ourselves. So, three verses. Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. In a nutshell, He, God, loved us even when we were dead in trespasses. He didn't ask us to clean up our life. Romans 5, 6, when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. In Vacation Bible School, Christ says to the unsaved sinner, come. God says to the saved sinner, go out to preach the gospel. All are sinners, all of us. Romans 5, 8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Next, God is pleased when we stop relying on ourselves and rely totally on Jesus Christ and his death on the cross alone for payment of our sins to save us. That is faith. That is saving faith. I give up on myself and I put my faith in Christ's work for me. Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is who he says he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Romans 4:18, Abraham's faith was not based on feelings. In hope against hope, he believed so that he might become a father of many nations according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. I'm sure Abraham was thinking, how can this be? My feelings tell me this is impossible, but nothing's impossible with God. It's God's plan. Abraham believed God's promises, even when he had every reason to doubt. From a natural perspective, every reason to doubt. Romans 4:19, Abraham's faith was not based on human possibilities. Abraham shifted his faith from human possibilities to God's, not possibilities, but reality, God's truth. Romans 4:19, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Romans 4:20, first part of the verse, Abraham's faith was not based on sight. Yet, with respect to the promises of God, he did not waver in unbelief. Abraham's faith remained strong over time, even when many of God's promises remained unfulfilled. Romans 4:20b, Abraham's faith grew even stronger as time passed. The stronger his faith grew, the more he praised God for God's faithfulness to him. As Romans 4:20b says, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. And a couple of verses in your notes there, Genesis 22:5, Hebrews 11:13. And I thought this was an interesting verse. That's why I put it up here. Genesis 22:5. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we shall come back to you. And God had already told him the instructions about what he was to do with Isaac. And yet the promise was through Isaac, his only son, and God would have to raise him from the dead if God didn't intervene. But Abraham believed God, not operating by sight, not operating by feelings, not operating by emotion. God said this, I believe it. And God provided the substitute, the ram whose horns were stuck in the thicket bush. Romans 4:21, Abraham's faith was not based on experiences or circumstances, but rather on God's trustworthiness and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to, the word is, perform. God was able to perform. Romans 4:22 through 25. Let's take a look. This is the last section for tonight's study. I'll read it out loud here, starting in verse 22. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. And the him there is not capital H, small h, referring to Abraham. Now it was not written for his, Abraham's, sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. Isn't that wonderful that God put these things in Scripture so that we can see that it applies to us? But also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, our sins, and was raised because of our justification, because the payment was adequate. God was satisfied. So the Genesis 15 statement that Abraham was justified by faith was recorded for our good as much as it was for Abraham. Romans 4:22, therefore, it was also credited or accounted to him as righteousness. This is once again a reminder that when Abraham believed God, he, Abraham, was regarded by God to be right before him. The word is right, having a right standing with God. Abraham was justified by faith. Abraham believed God's words, God's promises to him. Romans 4:23. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him. When the Old Testament states that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, it is recorded primarily for our good. The word is our. That's why it's recorded for us, to be able to read those promises. God wants you and me to know that Abraham is not the only one saved by faith. So that is the only way that you and me are saved, by faith in Christ's work. And I guess that's a question mark. When I was even all the way up through college, so are you and me saved by faith? So am I sure of that? I wasn't sure of that when I was in college. Somebody explained to me clearly the gospel of what Christ accomplished for me and how to get a hold of it. By faith alone in Christ's work. Romans 4:24, but for our sakes also, to whom it will be credited, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. This verse declares that just like Abraham, we too are declared right with God the moment we believe in the one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Salvation occurs at a moment in time when we believe what Christ has done for us. There can be a process of understanding this truth and the things that I believe that were wrong, to throw those out and see what does God declare. But there's a moment in time where each person needs to choose, I'm trusting Christ's work as payment for my sins. So it's at a moment in time. Romans 4:25. He who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Jesus Christ was delivered over to death for our sins. The word is sins. But was raised again, sorry, excuse me, but was raised up again for our justification. And this is the good news. This is the gospel shown to us as far as in this portion of Scripture. Christ died for our sins and rose again on the third day. It's not surprising that Paul brings that point. How was Abraham saved? Abraham was believing the promises of the future deliverer. We have the scriptures that tell us that Jesus Christ was that fulfillment of the scriptures. We too were declared right with God when we personally trusted in Christ and his death for our sins and resurrection. Have you personally believed the gospel? I think about the young people here. I'm very thankful as far as for Vacation Bible School. There was one young lady who was mentioned as far as in prayer time. She memorized those verses. She did not have a background as far as to our knowledge of anything about the Bible. She memorized all the verses for her grade level. The gospel was presented. The Spirit of God will use those verses to show her her need and the absolute perfect work of Jesus Christ to take care of her, and how to just simply, I'm going to choose to trust Christ's work for myself. Yeah, it's amazing. Have you personally believed the gospel, trusted in Christ, that he died for your sins and rose again on the third day? 1 John 5:13, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know, not hope so, wish so, but know that you have eternal life. What a wonderful statement of truth. And so, I have a feeling that we are jumping in. Oh, the things that we've covered. justification, to be declared righteous. We're saved from the penalty of sin when a person places their faith in Jesus Christ. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God. It's a knot of works, lest anyone would boast. Faith, salvation is based on faith alone in Christ alone, his perfect work for us. And in summary, we are saved from a hell we deserve to a heaven we will never be worthy of because of what Jesus Christ has done for each one of us. And he's paid the price for all of mankind. Just pray that even in terms of the kids at VBS and the people that we interact with, the theme of VBS was, God can use you. Yeah, God can use us. So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your plan of salvation, not by human works, but by faith alone in Jesus Christ's work, his death on the cross for our sins, his burial and his resurrection. Thank you for justification, to be declared by you, God, as righteous because we're seen in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us and preserving the scriptures, your word, so that we can know the promises that you have for us and for all of mankind. Your word is true. Thank you for clearly laying out the way of salvation in your word, not just in one point, one book, one chapter, but it is shown throughout. Your word is consistent, your word is true, and your word is forever true. Thank you again for this evening, and we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.